Today, I need two volunteers. All right. Okay, Kendi and Emma, come up here, both of you. All right. We're gonna have a contest this morning. All right. Yeah, we're gonna have a contest. Okay. Why don't you both stand over here? Okay. Now. All right. I want you to hold up a finger. Okay. Now take your thumb. All right. Now what I want you to do is this. I want you to take and push against my thumb, and we're gonna see who's got the strongest fingers. Okay. All right. That's the two of you. All right. Let's see which one of you has the strongest thumb. All right, ready? On your mark, get set, go. See who's, oh, come on, Kennedy. All right, let's try one finger. One finger. All right, ready? All right, come on, ready? Go. Oh, man.
I can't do it.
All right, go ahead and sit down. Thank you. Well, today what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about God's finger. God's finger. If you got your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. We're going to be looking at something a little different today. And it's amazing to me how strong God's finger is. Just his finger. You know, we think of our hands and stuff. Our finger is usually the weakest thing that we have. But starting in verse number 8 in Exodus chapter 32, it says this. And they turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. And they made them molten calf and worshipped and sacrificed thereon and said, these are our gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen the people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, and my wrath shall wax hot upon them, and I may consume them, and will make thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, why doth thy wrath wax hot against the people, which thou brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them up out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them in the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent the evil against them. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the land that I have spoken with, I will give unto thee. And the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto the people. I want to take a look at that for a little bit. And I want us to look at verse 11 one more time. And it says, Moses besought the Lord his God and said, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, and has brought forth out of the land of Egypt with the great power and a mighty hand? I want you to notice the last phrase of that, with great power and with a mighty hand. Have you ever thought of the power of God, how much power God actually has? God has a lot of power. And after all, here we see in these verses, or in the previous verses of what we read, Moses was up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. The people had become very nervous. Because they had not seen him for so long. They felt maybe he had died, and they wanted gods to worship, so they made themselves a golden calf to worship. And God was angry because the people went away from worshiping him to worshiping an image which they had made. I want to look at the finger of God for just a little bit this morning and show you just how much power God's finger has. Everybody hold your finger up. Got one finger? All right. Now, what is this finger used for, Trenton? What's this finger used for? This is your what? Trigger finger. It's your trigger finger. All right. So we want to take a look at the finger of God for just a minute. But God's finger brings forth miracles. In Exodus chapter 18 and verse 19, it says this: Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, as we recall in the story of Moses, the children of Israel were still in Egypt, and God was going to bring them out, and he brought different plagues upon the Egyptians. One of the plagues that he brought on was the plague of lice. How many of you know what lice are? Yeah. Have you ever had head lice? Huh? I bet he has seen head lice. Have you never seen head lice before? Just twice? Three times? Four times? Once in a while? He's a barber, but you know, head lice are terrible. Now think about this. The people had lice all over their bodies. All of the animals had lice. Everything had lice. And here we see that even the Egyptian magicians said that they thought it was by the finger of God that all this had happened. They knew it was not by their way of doing things that all this was happening. The people were itching and they're getting bit by these lice. They realized that it was by the very finger of God. They knew if God had used his hand, that God would have wiped out all of the people, just boom, like that. They would have been all dead. But yet he just used his finger to bring the plague of lice. You know, when God made man, he took dirt out of the ground, he formed man, he breathed into his nostrils, and man became alive. With the finger of God, all things are possible. Even the heathens realize that God's finger is powerful. The second thing is this: God's finger brings forth judgment. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, it says, And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. You know, Moses went up to Mount Sinai to meet with God. As we recall, he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, two different times. The first time he came down off of Mount Sinai, he broke both tablets of stone. He was so angry at the people. The people had made the golden calf, and he was angry about it, and he took the tablets of stone and he threw them. It was the first time that anyone broke all 10 commandments at the same time. Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, he broke all 10 commandments at the same time. He just threw them down on the ground and he broke all of them. But Moses once again went up to on Mount Sinai after he'd broke those tablets, and God again wrote with his finger on stone one more time. Have you ever thought about writing on stone? Have you ever tried to write something on a stone? You know, I have, and it's hard to do. Even if you have a sharp object, trying to write on a stone, it's hard to do. But here we see that God can write on stone with his finger. I went to a place that does memorial stones, and I was watching them carve headstones for cemeteries. And there was an older gentleman there, and he told me, he said that he used to do all of it by hand. He used to carve everything by a chisel and a hammer, and he carved all the letters out and everything by hand. And he said he had to be so careful because just one slip and he would break the whole stone and he'd have to start all over again. I asked him, I said, how many times did that happen? He said, only two or three, because you learn real fast that you don't want to start all over. He said one time he was at the last line and finished in the last line. He had two letters left. And he went and he hit and he broke the stone. He had to do the whole thing all over. Now that takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. But here we see with God's finger, he wrote the judgments and the rules that people need to guide their lives by. It was by the finger of God that all the laws of the land were formed. It was by the finger of God that the laws of man as we know today were put into existence. If we as humans would only adhere to the laws which God had put forth with his finger, we would live a lot better life. The third thing is this: God's finger or hand brought forth mysteries. It brings forth mysteries. God's finger can bring forth a mystery. In Daniel chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, go sit down. Thank you very much. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. You know, nothing like this had ever been done before. Now think about this for a minute. The king was in a room something like this. Only thing, it might have been bigger. And they were having a party, and everybody was getting drunk. And all of a sudden, a hand came out and started writing with a finger across the wall. He just started writing across the wall with his finger. All it was a hand. There was no body there. There was no figure there. All it was a hand. And we need to realize that this had never been done before. All of a sudden, this finger was writing across the wall, just like these walls here, and it was just writing across the wall. And so they called Daniel, and Daniel was the only one that could take and interpret to the king what this writing was. The mystery of the writing had been solved by Daniel, and what it said was that the king was going to die the next day because of the sin that the king had done. He was going to die the next day, and that's exactly what happened. The king died the next day. The fourth thing is this: God's finger brings forth deliverance. In Luke chapter 11, verse 20, it says, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." Here we see Jesus casting out devils or demons, and there was a man who was possessed with a demon, and he couldn't talk. He was dumb. He couldn't talk at all. And as soon as the demon left his body, he began to speak. You know, many of the people said that he was casting out devils by Satan, and Jesus told them showed the whole country that it was not by Satan, that he did it by his power and by God's power. Jesus was able to deliver the people by his finger, and God from the devils which possessed many people. You know, God by his finger can deliver us from all things that so easily beset us. You know, if a person has trouble with drinking or drugs or gambling or pornography or many other problems, money problems, God's finger is strong enough to help us overcome all these things and that have a real grip on us. The fifth thing is this, is God's finger brings forth salvation. In John chapter 8, verses 6 to 8, it says, "This they said, tempting him that they might have accused him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground." Here we see a woman who had been taken in the very act of adultery, occurring according to the Mosaic law. She was to be stoned to death. These men had brought her to Jesus to find out if he was going to cast judgment on her or not. With his finger, he wrote in the ground. And you know, nobody knows to this day what he wrote in the ground. Nobody has any idea what Jesus wrote in the ground that day. You know, it doesn't matter what the words were that was written, but the results of it, that's what's important. Here we see in the results that the woman's sin was forgiven of her. It was because of the finger of God that this woman had received eternal life. You know, the Bible is God's word penned out by the inspiration of God, even though it was through man's finger that the word was written. It was through God breathing on those men that we have the Bible. God's finger still brings salvation today through his word. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, God wants everybody to be saved and go to heaven. He doesn't want anyone to perish. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It was by God's finger you and I can have eternal life if we only will receive it. In Romans 10:9-10, it says this, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:12-13 says, "For there is no difference between Jews and the Greeks, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't matter who we are, what ethnic group we are, what color we are, or anything else. God gave a way that all of us, through his finger, that we can be saved and have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us today. Help us get everything accomplished we need to get done. We just thank you so much for the school. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the food bank. Thank you for everything that goes on here. We just pray now that you'll guide and direct us in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I have something for everyone to do. I want everybody to go into the high school room and grab a box. A box. That box has to go downstairs. Everything that's in the high school room in the boxes have to go downstairs. So we need to move all that down there right away, okay? So everybody grab a box on your way downstairs and take a box downstairs with you. All right? Little ones, you can go to your room, okay? You can go in with Serena. All right. I think we got everything. How's Emerald doing? Good. Did you have a good weekend?